This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Invest Talk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next Invest Talk.
Welcome to Invest Talk, above average investing for the average investor. We try to bring you useful information and answer any questions you might have, as long as they're financial. We're here to help. No matter what your experience level is, doesn't matter. We'll answer your questions and hopefully share some ideas, good ideas, hopefully, during the hour. So I'm open to any money questions you have. 888-99-CHART is how you can reach me. It's our 24-hour listener line. It's always open and always on. And we're going to check in with some listeners in just a minute. Yesterday, Justin devoted most of the hour to exploring the world of bitcoins because it's on everybody's lips about cryptocurrencies. Now, who would have imagined a year ago that we'd be talking about cryptocurrencies? It's a hot topic, very hot. So the Bitcoin phenomena, if you want to ask any questions, just send a note to Justin. He'll be happy to answer them. And all you have to do is go to investtalk.com and click on Contact Justin. So, really, Bitcoins weren't taken very seriously when they came out in 2009. But here we are 8 years later, and everybody's talking about Bitcoins. A Boston Globe article has the value of a Bitcoin this month at $15,999. $15,992. So that is 45 times higher than it was in October 2014. 45 times higher. That's 3 years ago. Is that a bubble? Is it the Bitcoin bubble? Could it grow more? Certainly could. Is it a fad? Is it a bubble like we've had in history, like the tulip mania? Do you remember the tulip mania? Well, you don't remember, but you might remember reading about it. It happened in the 1600s. And this is where a tulip bulb, was getting more and more and more expensive. And it got more expensive than gold, a bulb, one bulb. So if you ever want to read about it, you can just go to the internet and type in tulip mania, and you'll see. But it gets ridiculous because one buyer would be selling to another buyer. No one even had a clue or cared how much it was worth. All they knew is that price was going up. Is that happening with Bitcoins? No one cares about what it's really worth, but everybody's driving at the price. This is going to be an interesting phenomena. So what's going to happen next? I don't know. There's no answer here. I don't have the answer. I do think it's ridiculous. I think cryptocurrencies are here to stay. I don't think they're going away. But you don't go up 45 times in 3 years. And what are you basing that value on? Based on what? Don't know. Okay, so let's switch out of that. You drive the conversation, not me. Your questions are the ones to take us wherever you want to take us. So I try to answer them live during this hour, 45 Pacific time, or you can leave your questions on our 24-hour listening line, 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Steve, just giving you a quick phone call. I have to ask what your thoughts are on this entire cryptocurrency craze that seems to be going on. I've never been one to invest in those types of things, but the recent surge is starting to become a little hard to ignore. Thanks so much. Love the show.
That's funny. I'm staying away from it. I just don't have any clue how it's valued. I'm not smart enough to figure out what is a Bitcoin worth. How much money should we? I mean, I guess you can buy it and try to just hope for the way ride the wave and then sell it before everybody else dumps it. But there's going to be a hard fall on this at some point. But again, no one really knows where that's going to be. I can tell you this: bubbles build when the people don't think they're a bubble, and if people don't think the Bitcoin price is a bubble. I mean, there was a survey done and said that most people think Bitcoin will go up just as fast in the next 3 years as it did in the last 3 years. That's hard to imagine. 45 times? So instead of 16,000, next year would be what? If it was 45 times in 3 years, so that's, you know, it's just hard for me to imagine. 14 times in a year. So it's going to go from 16,000, 32,000, 64,000, 124,000, and then about $250,000 this year per Bitcoin. Okay, that's hard to believe. Anyways, don't know. We'll see. I think, as I said, I think they're here to stay. I think it's going to be around. I just don't know how to evaluate it. And I would stay away from it. As an investor, I'd stay away from it. Let's look at our list of topics today. We're going to look at a common misconceptions about home ownership, retirement, investing, credit cards, Social Security. Five big money myths that are busted. We'll see if we can get to all of them, or some of them at least. Also, I have some other things I want to talk about. How about small business sentiment in November? Second highest reading on record. I want to talk about why is small business so excited? Why is our drivers of the economy, small business is a big driver of economy, so upbeat about the economy? What made that happen? And how about a major shift in computer chips, which will probably leave Intel in the dust if they don't get on board? Major shift. Of course, we might touch base with the Federal Reserve and what they did. They raised rates today. We'll talk about that. And what's going to happen with junk bonds with this new tax plan? There's going to be unintended consequences from this tax cut. And junk bonds might be one who will suffer. So those are things I want to talk about if we can get to them. This is InvestTalk, everybody. I'm Steve Peasley. I welcome your money questions. Should you draw down savings or investments to prepay your mortgage? Should you pay that off faster? What are your options for your old 401k, 403b plans when you start working at a new firm? Do you got questions? We'll try to answer them. To reach me right now, call 888-99-CHART.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Invest Talk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next Invest Talk.
888-99-CHART is our number, 888-992-4278. How about if we go to Don in Coronado? How you doing, Don?
Hey, good, Steve. How are you?
Thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
No problem. Love your show. Appreciate your help. If the way you manage people's money, everyone has the same portfolio,
yes.
How do you differentiate between those who want a conservative portfolio and those who want a moderate, et cetera, if everyone's got the same portfolio, just a different number of stocks?
Okay, so I can answer that question. Well, how we do that is we offer different programs. We have a program called an income program, which is 50% stocks and 50% bonds. So a person who wants less risk, we will hold the bonds to maturity, and we are buying only companies that pay high dividends. That is a less risky portfolio than our stock portfolio. So you have picked what category of risk you want to be in based on what programs we offer.
Okay.
And so everybody in this program, or the stock program, has all the same stocks. Everybody in the income, balanced income portfolio has the same amount of bonds, same bonds and stocks in that one. Anybody in the mutual fund program all have the same as everybody else in that program.
And you and your partner have the same, you spread your money out across those programs?
We put money in each one of those. That's right. We have our own money in each one of those programs. All of the programs we have our own money. So we buy everything at the same time for every client in those programs.
I like that aspect of your business.
Yeah, I think it's only the right way to do it. We expose ourselves to the exact same, practically all my money's there. Because I want to be very focused on making sure I make money.
Before I give you all my millions, if I wanted to know your track record, how could I find that out?
By calling me in the office, we can show you every stock we own. We can show you every stock we purchase in every program and what it has done as far as back as you want to go.
great. And I was kidding about my millions. I'm actually in the military, so I don't have much. But
you're worth a lot of money, though. Multi-million for being in the military.
Thanks,
okay?
Steve.
Thanks, Don. I appreciate it. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. What do you want to talk about? Talk about anything that's on your mind. How about the five most pervasive myths? One of them, I'll start with the fifth one instead of the first one, is that Social Security is going to disappear. Social Security is not going to disappear. It's always going to be there. It is, what it is we know that at some point more money is leaving than coming in. We know that. I think we're already at that point. We know that it's going to run out of money, and we know you're going to have to make some changes to it. But it's not going to disappear. It's not going to go away. It's not like, oh, well, it's bankrupt, we're done. It's not even close to what might happen with Social Security. So don't think in those terms. Another myth. Buying a home is always a good investment. No, it's not. Now, we are biased here in California because it's been such a good investment over the multiple years for quite some time. But there are places in the Midwest and all over the place that prices don't go up. And what about all those people that bought during the bubble, 2007, 2000? There's still tons of people upside down in their property after all these years, still not making any money. So it's not a sure thing. It's not always a good investment. You just got to be smart about where and what you're investing in. So those are just a couple of the myths. Remember, there's five of them on this article. There's an article you can read yourself if you wish. It's on investtalk.com. Just go to our website. There's another myth about stocks. There's a myth you always get what you pay for. That's not true necessarily either. Sometimes you get much less than what you pay for, and sometimes you get more than what you pay for. But you don't always get what you pay for, and that's something that people believe. Just believe. You always get what you pay for. No, not really. Okay, and how about the myth that you had to carry a balance on your credit? You have to have money owed to have a good credit score. No, you don't. Paying off your credit is not a bad thing. You don't have to have loans outstanding on your credit cards. Anyways, those are some of the myths. And if you want to read more about them, you go to, as I said, go to investtalk.com. This is an article from The Motley Fool, which I thought was, pretty interesting. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Again, before the end of the hour, we're going to talk about small business settlement, which I think is pretty interesting. Now, here's an investment term you should know. What is minority interest? Minority interest. A minority interest, which is also referred to as a non-controlling interest, is ownership of less than 50% of a company's equity by an investor or another company. In other words, you own less than 50%. You are a minority owner. Anyone at 51% who owns 51%, he's the majority owner. He makes the decisions. He votes for himself and makes the decisions. Votes himself the president, CEO, he owns a company. He's a majority interest. Minority interest shows up as a non-current liability on the balance sheet, by the way. And it's just something you should understand. I was talking about limited partnerships and the master limited partnerships and what is a general partnership. And if you're a limited partner in a general partnership, what does that mean? I was talking to someone in the office today about that and the risks involved, because there are lots of risks there that you got to be aware of. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. You've heard about different strategies to save interest and pay off your house quicker. Should you change from monthly mortgage payments to bi-weekly mortgage payments? Let's talk about it. Check in now at 888-99-CHART.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Invest Talk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next Invest Talk.
888-99-CHART is our number, everybody. You can reach us. We have lines open, 888-992-4278. Patrick, Mill Valley, how you doing?
Here's my question. What I want to know is, my wife and I are so busy with our kids and stuff, and I'm really responsible for the portfolio of my retirement, which I watch pretty closely, but a lot of times we just have a tough time taking care of the bills.
Right.
And I didn't know if there's how you might go about getting like someone to help you with that.
Paying the bills or help managing your portfolio?
The bills, because the portfolio I can stay on top of, but taking care of the bills, everything just goes crazy, and I'm trying to, you know, make sure I put enough into retirement, but then there's always these bills popping up with kids and, you know, just life.
That is a real pain in the butt. That is life, though, isn't it, Patrick?
Yeah.
If you're talking about actually physically paying the bills, these days, almost all the bill payers, all of them, allow you to pay it online and be automatic about it. In other words, you never have to issue a check.
Oh, I see.
And almost all of them will let you set up a mortgage, electric bill, all those normal bills you get every month. Every
right.
one of them would much prefer you not send them a check. Much prefer you do it automatically through your checking account, just do a transfer, and let them notify you've collected your money and here's what the bill was.
Okay.
And that would save you a lot of headache. All the young guys in my office, that's how they do it. They never issue checks. Now,
okay.
I must admit, my wife is a dinosaur. She pays the bills at the house.
Yeah, that's my wife too.
Yeah, and she writes checks out, and I've tried to convince her to do otherwise. At the office, I have automatic pays a lot.
Okay.
Boy, does it save a lot of time and headache.
Yeah. Okay, I'll look into that.
That will help you. That'll help you a lot.
Okay.
Thanks, Patrick.
Thanks.
Appreciate the call. Jason, San Diego, how you doing?
Good. My question is, why do mutual funds close to new investors? And if I start investing in a fund and then it closes, can I keep adding to my position in that?
Very, very good question, Jason. Mutual funds close for one reason. And that reason is they're getting too much money for what they invest in. They cannot put that money to work fast enough, or they have too much money, period. One of those two reasons. If you already own shares, Jason, almost all of them that I've ever seen will allow you to buy additional shares. They just closed the door. The mutual fund closes to new investors. If you sold all your shares, Jason, all of them, they would not let you back in.
Okay.
Now, sometimes they will reopen because sometimes they get the money too fast and they can't put it to work. And therefore, they're going to have bad performance, and they don't want that. So sometimes they reopen when they have, 6 months later or so, when they've been able to put that money to work, and they'll reopen. Jason, when a mutual fund closes, that is a good thing. That tells you that those managers are not just looking at greed. Remember, when they close their funds, that means they're not going to take any more money. That means they earn their money as a percentage of the money they manage. So it's a good thing. If this mutual fund concentrates on small cap stocks, Jason, they should close once they get about $300 to $500 million, maybe $1 billion on the mat. They should close because small cap stocks are not very liquid. There's not very many of them. Does that help you?
Yeah, that helps a lot. Thank you.
Thanks, Jason. Appreciate the call. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So the question is the small business sentiment in November had its second highest reading on record, okay? And it's 44 years of history of this, by the way. And so you have, and remember, you got to remember small business employ most of the people in the United States, not big business, small business do. So why are they so upbeat? Nothing's really changed. We haven't passed a tax reform. We haven't, why are they so excited? And I want to point out that this is true for a lot of things. It's not what actually is happening. It's the expectations of what's going to happen that drives things. Drives the stock market, drives economy, drives GDP, drives inflation. If you expect inflation to go up, it's going to go up. It's very common that because what you want, and I say you and meaning everybody, you make it happen. Remember, I've told you many times on charts, reading charts. Well, they're going to find support and resistance at these levels because other people have found out that the stock goes up or down at that level. And me just thinking that it's going to do it again, I react to it and I make it happen. I and all the other people doing the same thing I'm doing. So the small business guy, if he gets excited, he thinks that things are going to get better, they tend to get better because then he does things to, you know, make it happen. Opens up another office, hires another employee. Well, the employee has money and he goes, that employee spends money. And the economy is driven by the flow of that money. All because he expects things to be better, he kind of makes it happen. So I want to, you know, when you read all these stats, you have to also have it in your mind that the future expectations of something tends to drive it to that direction. Now, this is not always true, but it tends to be true. Okay? So that's why small business people are thinking, hey, things are going to get better. We're going to have to pay less taxes. We got a better pass-through in taxes. That's going to happen. Well, it may not happen, but they expect it to happen. Therefore, they're excited about it. Therefore, they're reacting to it today. So the only thing that might happen is if they don't get it, their expectations could be disappointed. They go the other way, and everything else goes the other way. 888-99-CHART is our number.
Our podcast continues next. The process of investing is more than just picking stocks. Investing begins with savings, of course, and along the way, there are issues about taxes and then estate planning and on and on. KPP Financial clients have a ready resource of information about any and all of these personal financial matters. All they need to do is ask. Managing your money gets more complex every day, and there are more options than the average person could possibly comprehend. And when we're confronted with too many choices, research shows that people put off decisions, important decisions. Most times, that's not productive. KPP Financial's philosophy is the more their clients know, the more successful they'll be, and the more predictable their future will be. KPP Financial, serving the average investor, helping them find solutions. Now let's continue with the podcast. You're listening to an encore presentation of Invest Talk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next Invest Talk.
888-99-CHART is our number, 888-992-4278. Let's go to John in San Jose. How you doing, John?
Good. How are you, Mr. Pusney?
I'm good. Thank you for the call.
Yes, I enjoy your show. Learn a lot. Thanks for doing a wonderful show.
Thank you.
A quick question. Today, the Fed increased the rate by 0.25.
Yes.
So I was wondering, are there any ETFs whose dividend actually increase if the interest rates increase?
Yes, there is. Now that's inflation. I was thinking inflation tips, Treasury inflation protected ETF, and if inflation goes up, its dividend yield, the yield from that increase, it readjusts itself every 6 months. But that's inflation.
Right.
That's not in interest rates.
Right.
I wouldn't be surprised if there's one out there that does. I don't know if it would be based on the Fed funds rate, which is what we're talking about here, that was raised today, a 0.25.
Yeah.
And that went up to 1.25, everybody, from 1%. The Fed has increased the rate several times this year, and they're going to increase it several times next year, according to them. That's what they said. So you're trying to figure out a way to benefit by the Fed fund rate increase. And I don't know off the top of my head. It's a good question, John, but I don't know off the top of my head that I know that there's an answer. I have the answer for that. I don't remember seeing anything like that.
Right. So, I mean, the secondary effect of it, if you will, eventually the rise in the interest rates will reflect in, let's say, the bonds or utilities going down or even stocks going down, right?
That's correct.
Then effectively effectively I will have a better yield. But I don't want to wait for that cycle.
Yeah, you can short interest rates. I know there's ETFs that go up. Like, let's talk about the bond ETFs. There's a junk bond one called with a symbol JNK, and then there's an overall bond that's BND. And, you know, if interest rates rise, those tend to go down in value. So, but that's not necessarily attached to the Fed's funds rate. So the Fed can raise rates, but the overall rates could stay the same. The Fed only controls one rate, and that's the Fed's funds rate. But they've been raising it 3 or 4 times this year, but the other rates didn't go up.
Yeah, the long-term rates are still the same, right?
Yeah. So it's not a, you know, it's not a perfect scenario for you. You've got to find something that works off the Fed funds rate, and I don't know if I know of one. I don't know one. But that was a great question. It really is a good question, John.
Keep looking. Yeah, keep looking.
Thanks for the question. I appreciate that.
Sure.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. Maybe somebody else out there has an answer. Maybe you can call in. Let us know. Okay, there's a major shift going on in computer chips and the constant changing computer world. And I'm talking about IA, intelligent and in artificial intelligence. And what's happening is there's a lot of that's being more and more. Think about you and talking to your phone or talking to your house, and you have that little box that turns off and on TVs or the heater or whatever. That's all artificial intelligence type things going on there. And the problem is Intel is kind of falling behind. They have great chips. Don't get me wrong, it's a big company. They do have some in the artificial intelligence, but they're not on the leading edge. NVIDIA is probably the number one leading edge. And we're talking about artificial intelligence and connected devices. We're talking about parallel and processing systems and neural networking, all your iPhone, your iPad, your computer, all the phones talking to each other, which is talking to your house and which is talking to whoever, everything's your car. Yeah, so everything is getting interconnected, and those types of chips are not Intel's specialty. And that is the direction that technology is going. So I'm just kind of raising a little flag about Intel. Great company, and they're still not going into business, and they'll try to catch up, as they always do. But they're falling behind. They're falling behind on the cutting edge, which is not unusual. So, there's other things happening. And you can see it in your own home. What's the great gift idea this year for Christmas? Artificial intelligence type devices that you tell you walk in a room, you tell the system to turn on the lights and the TV at the same time. And then, lock up afterwards. Lock all the windows. You could just tell it. That's all artificial intelligence kind of thing. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So how should you save for your child's college education? First, you got to decide that you're going to do it, right? Both Series I savings bonds and Section 529 college savings plans offer tax-advantaged ways to save for college. You got the Coverdell educational investment plan. And what are the merits of all these things? You can pay under 529, you can prepay tuition. They have a part of their 529, just not investing in stocks and bonds. You can also put money toward a 529 that prepays tuition. It pays it in today's dollars for your kid 18 years from now when he actually goes to college. So you get it a lot cheaper. That's the theory behind it. But of course, they got to go to that specific college. So there's other, and 529 plans are state-sponsored. So each state has its own. Not all states have one. Remember, there's going to be some disadvantages, Some of those, there's advantages and disadvantages depending on the state-sponsored plan, because states can put limitations on what you can do with the money. So should you do a 529 or a Coverdell? Do you know how much money you can put away for each one of those per year? We can talk about it. Ask your questions anytime, 888-99-CHART.
Here are the directions for reaching Steve this afternoon with your question. Just call 888-99-CHART, C-H-A-R-T. Have a question about how best to get into the market? Or maybe you're feeling unsure about your current investments. That's what this is all about. This is InvestTalk.
888-99-CHART. You can get a hold of us right now. We're going to go to Maria in San Francisco. Hi, Maria.
Oh, hi, Steve. Thank you for taking my call.
Well, you making it makes the show.
No, you really have a wonderful show. Okay, question about your international fund.
Yes.
I always wanted to buy some international ETF.
Okay.
I always could not get in because, okay, for example, I'm looking at Indian, I'm looking at Mexico, I'm looking at Australia, okay?
Okay.
Those funds, you see price moving up and move down, okay? Sometimes you could bought at the resistance or, you know, you could sell at the, you bought at the...
support.
Right, the floor, and then you sell at resistance.
Correct.
But you just don't know what people are selling or buying for... America, we can see we can hear our news, we can see what is the economy going on. But for international, especially for individual investors, how can you track all the news?
It's very difficult, Maria.
So,
you hit it right on the head as far as the difficulty.
No, right. There is no price target. There are some, like a 10 largest holding, just say India, okay?
Yes.
You could see the top... one or two stocks, there could be some kind of a price target. But other than that, that's just like a 5%. So how can you figure out when to get in and when to get out? And they are very volatile.
They are very volatile.
So what do I do?
Okay. Very, very good question, Maria. Very good question. Because they can get very volatile. And if you buy a foreign stock and you want to sell it, you got the foreign exchange rate to deal with. In other words, you may have gone up in their stock exchange, that stock may have gone up. But by the time you transferred into your money here, our dollar may have gone down or gone up. It changes the whole, so it gets even more complex than Maria's talking about. Now, are you familiar with ADRs, Maria?
Yes.
Okay, there are American depository receipts that are stocks that are foreign but traded here in the United States. And I won't go into all the details how that works, but what it means, if a stock that is foreign that wants to trade on our exchanges here, they have to comply with the general accounting principles that we, our own country, our own companies have to comply with. And so what that does is it gives you more transparency to see what they're doing. Okay? They still can lie and cheat and everything else, though. But so can our own companies. As we know, they do that, too. So, unfortunately. But American depository receipts is a good way to invest in foreign companies because then you can start putting on the same kind of growth and GP and earnings yield requirements you have. But again, you're right, Maria. When you're investing in a foreign country, how do you know if that country is not doing something crazy like Russia when they took over that oil company, Yukos? Something crazy that would never happen in our country. You never know. So there's an inherent built-in risk investing in foreign companies, and that's why it's a good idea to find a good mutual fund who does it for a living. You know, you can buy, if you have you want 10% foreign exposure in your portfolio, it's almost better to buy a mutual fund that specializes.
Great.
You know, because then you allegedly, quote unquote, are hired an expert to invest in those foreign companies.
Very good idea.
Shannon Livermore, how you doing out there in Livermore, Shannon?
Doing great. I've just started kind of investing. I'm 36, and
okay.
The company I work for, they don't have a 401k.
Oh, man, you need to get them on the ball.
I know, but I was thinking of doing it on my own. I'm
okay.
Interested in the Roth IRA.
Well, how old are you again, Shannon?
I'm 36.
Do the Roth. That's the one you want. Don't do regular. Do Roth IRA.
Okay, you said there's no tax on it?
That's right. You know, the money you're making every day, you know how you pay income tax on it?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, you don't get to write that off. You still have to pay income tax on it, on a Roth IRA. But once you take that money and put it in a Roth, mm-hmm. all the growth that you're growing that money, let's say you put in $5,000 this year,
yeah.
and that money grows over 20, 30 years, grows to $30,000. Just pick a number.
Okay.
When you start taking it out, you never have to pay taxes on any of that money you take off, ever.
Okay, and I have someone that I guess I should go through. I had bought some mutual funds, but they're the real low-risk ones.
Okay.
They're not really going to make any money.
No. So get out of the low-risk. Do high-risk, Shannon.
Okay.
Buy a mid-cap growth fund, a small-cap growth fund, a small value fund, and maybe a large-cap growth fund.
Okay. With the Roth, would I have to pay the $4,000 up front, or do I do it throughout the year?
You can put it in any time you want. Let's say the Roth money that you want to put in, is it we're talking about the money you're going to put into the Roth?
Yes, sir.
You can put it in any time of the year. You actually have up until April 15th of the following year to put it in for this year, I believe.
Okay, but do I have to give them $4,000 up front?
Or? Nope. You can give $100, $200 a month. You can do whatever you want.
Okay, great. That's what I needed to know. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Shannon. Appreciate the call. Joe in Oceanside. How you doing, Joe?
Hey, Steve. I called you regarding an insurance question, and I'm calling you again because I have another one. Not pertaining to me, but one of my wife's coworkers. She's 21 years old. She has one child. She's a single mother that's 2 years old. She was speaking to a guy that he was trying to sell her universal life insurance. And so I wanted to get your take on what you think will be best for her to get.
I would not get universal life insurance if I was her. I would not. In my personal opinion, she should get a quote on the universal life insurance, okay?
It's a $500,000.
Okay, let's say it's $500,000. Her premium is going to be, I don't know, $200 a month. Do you know what it is?
It's $107 for the first year.
$107 per month the first year?
Uh-huh.
Now she should go out and get a term life policy quote. Term, maybe from a different guy.
Okay.
Term life insurance policy quote for the same $500,000.
Okay.
And that's probably going to be $15 a month, by the way. She's 21.
Yep.
That could be $10 a month. What she should do then is take the difference, the $90 per month difference, and just start putting it into an IRA and start investing it. And she will make a lot more money doing that than she would make using the universal life policy. They sell it to you saying it's an investment.
IRA? A Roth IRA or a regular IRA?
At 21, I do a Roth IRA. And she'll make a lot more money over the life of that insurance product than she ever would buying the universal life.
Would you be opposed to opening up a mutual fund like you suggested?
Nope, I would definitely suggest that she do that, yes.
So what kind of mutual fund? I know you said no load.
Always look for your no load funds, just a no load mutual fund. She can get it at, she can go to Schwab and open up a Schwab One account. She can do a RIDEX, she can go to Vanguard, different places. All no load funds. Joe, appreciate the call.
Thank you very much, Steve.
Thank you very much for the call.
Trying to understand how to evaluate some of the oil stocks.
Got a question for Steve or Justin? You're the best person to ask it at 888-99-CHART. And now's the best time.
So the Federal Reserve raised rates a quarter point. Now remember I said they only control one rate, and that's the Fed's funds rate. That's the rate that they charge banks for borrowing money from them. And it's at up a quarter point to 1.25%, okay? And that's the fourth time this year that they did that. And Janet Yellen said they're probably going to raise it three times next year. But remember, she's not going to be the chairman next year. She's not going to be there next year. She also said that the market's not overvalued, but necessarily overvalued, but admits that it's kind of high. But she also says that, you know, we economists, referring to herself, are not very good at telling you where the market's going to go, if it's going to go higher or lower, or picking a price point. They're not good at that, which I thought was interesting. And one other thing, they're still puzzled. They are, meaning the Federal Reserve, puzzled about the low inflation rate. They don't understand why that's happening. It's kind of scary that they don't understand how the rest of us are going to understand if they don't. They're supposed to be the smartest people out there. You're listening to Invest Talk. I'm Steve Peasley. Only about 10 minutes left. So this is the time to get your question in, 888-99-CHART.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Invest Talk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next Invest Talk.
Hey, guys. My name is Benjamin. I live in Orange County, California. Listen to your show. Love it. I have a question about penny stocks. Pretty much, are they worth it? They're pretty stagnant. Some of them move up and down every day at different paces. For example, one of them I have is IC, N as in Nancy, B as in Bravo. I have a lot of shares, but it's not seeming to go anywhere. So if you can answer this question about penny stocks, if they're worth it, where can I get the financials on them? Thanks, guys. Love your show. Bye.
And the simple answer is no. And I would suggest never, ever, ever, ever buy a penny stock. Most of them go out of business. Now, what happens is there's that 0.1% that skyrockets and makes you 100,000% gain because they started at, for instance, this one's selling at a fraction of a penny, this ICNB, a fraction of a penny. Well, anybody can move the stock. Well, and there's so much manipulation in this area, so much manipulation. That it's just not worth the effort. Most of them go out of business. You're wasting your effort and time to try to find the one or two little gems out of all the ones that are out there. It's like playing the lottery. You're just not going to make it. Someone wins, but it's not going to be you or me. So no, I would stay away from penny stocks and just stay away from the whole idea. Let's go to Dave in San Leandro. How are you doing, Dave?
I'm good, Steve. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for the call.
I know that everybody says you can't time the market,
right?
But my question is related to that. The recent correction, the 5 to 15% correction that wailed on the tech stocks here 10 days ago or so ish, and I heard an opinion that this is really the big mutual funds and banks rebalancing their portfolios because the tech stocks have grown in the percentage that it was out of proportion. So the opinion is that I heard was that this is them rebalancing and going back to Ford and Bank of America and things like that, like you've been talking to, mm-hmm. and getting out of the things that have grown disproportionately to their wanted profile. What are your feelings on that? And as far as also about the cyclical nature of that, are they doing this every December, basically? Since I heard that opinion, I haven't been able to study the chart.
Actually, it does happen every year that there's distortion in the market. And there was huge distortion in the FANG stocks this year, FAANG, which is Facebook, Apple, what was the other A?
Google.
Google,
Netflix.
Yeah. So they distorted, because they're so big, they distorted everything, and they were driven up and distorting the market indexes and everything. And yes, huge holders of these things do rebalance this time of year. And so, yes, what they do is they rebalance out of the high flyers, and they go into the value or low flyers, and of course that dries up the value stocks and drives down. But, you know, that's called sector rotation, too. Some people would say, well, we're just having sector rotation here. Well, yeah, but what causes sector rotation? Well, rebalancing does cause sector rotation. So, yeah, that had something to do with it, Dave. No one will ever be able to say that is the exact reason why it happened. No one will be able to do that, but it had a big influence. Let's put it that way.
Well, what do you think about the philosophy then on December 1 every year from now on, you dump everything and you do what they're doing ahead of, you know, a week or two ahead of what they're doing. Just in other words, get out of whatever's been super hot that year, mm-hmm. and go over to the value stocks.
So what you're suggesting is a strategy called Dogs of the Dow. Have you ever heard of that strategy?
No, I haven't.
Dogs of the Dow strategy is a very famous strategy where you sell all the high flyers and buy the dogs of the Dow Industrial 30 stocks called Dogs of the Dow. It's okay?
Uh-huh.
You should look that up in Investopedia and it'll describe to you how that strategy works. And that's exactly what you're describing. Okay?
Well, does it work?
It worked great for many, 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 many years, and then it got too popular, then it stopped working, and then the last few years, it's working great again. Because
okay.
As soon as people forget about it, it starts working again. Thanks for the call.
I wish somebody had told me about that.
Go look it up, Dave. You'll see. Thanks for the call. Time to wrap it up, everybody. A reminder, if you have a question you'd like to ask me directly offline, it's easy to get a note to me. Just go to investtalk.com and click on Contact Steve, and I will get back to you, I promise. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. Justin Klein and the whole KPP family, thank you for being with us today, and we can do it again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.